Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
More than 2,800 have signed a petition calling on the Department of Education to formally accredit the first national training programme for special needs assistance in University College Dublin. And the petition is asking the government to ensure the professional development of SNAs, by giving the 500 students currently enrolled in the programme a recognised educational qualification rather than a certificate of completion issued by the UCD School of Education. It'll be the first dedicated national programme for SNAs. This online course runs for a duration of 10 months and spans 5 modules, including professional development and inclusive education. And announced by the Minister for Special Education, Josepha Madigan, back in September, its creation came after the need for training was identified by the National Council for Special Education in a 2018 review. If we get accredited, it feels like you put the work in and you've achieved something at the end of it. End of it, says Linda O'Sullivan, an SNA at St. Fergal's Boys National School in Fingus, Dublin, and a participant on the programme. And Linda joins me now on the line to explain it a little bit, because I'm very confused. Linda.
Niall, how are you? First of all, it's lovely to talk to you. I feel like we haven't spoken in a long time.
No, it's been a little while, all right, since you've been on.
I know, it has.
We're like old friends.
Thanks very much for taking the interest.
Okay, well, explain it to me, I suppose, and the listeners, because, yeah. I mean, I read it out there, but I suppose to a lot of people that might when it went a little bit over their heads, including mine. So explain to me exactly what the issue is and why we need to change it.
Basically, we have 500 SNAs currently sitting on a course in UCD where the government, we were told at first, couldn't decide on accreditation, and that would be looked at. And then it was decided that we would just receive a certificate to say a form of, we'd say, completion, which to us is an insult, because there's a very similar course happening in UCD, which is accredited, which has less modules than ourselves. So basically, there's 500 of us that are completing this course, which has taken up a lot of time, 60 plus hours during January during the lockdown. And look, we're very aware there's other courses out there. It is not the first training programme for SNAs. They are saying it's the first one with UCD, but any SNA I know who's on the course has completed level 5 and 6, which would be very standard for an SNA's training. And all we're looking for is level 7 accreditation because of the work that we're putting in it. So, like, I mean, it's not like a flare-arranging course with FOSS, and thanks for coming to all the different weeks. There is a lot of work that's gone into it. There is lectures every week.
And there's a skill developed at the end of it, which is the most important thing.
I have to say now, credit to UCD and Phyllis and all the lectures that we have. Like, it's a fabulous course, and our issue doesn't lie within UCD. It's with the government, who simply don't seem to understand the role of an SNA. Minister Madigan makes comments that she's on the side of children with special needs, but clearly when she won't accredit this, which can only kind of benefit SNA, the children that we care for, it's very clear, as Eoin O'Riordan said in The Dáil and Gary Gannon and Dunica, that they won't accredit it, because then they would simply have to recognise SNAs as professionals and pay us as such.
And why, see, here's the thing that I don't understand. Why aren't SNAs, why have they never been recognised as professionals? Because without a shadow, because I know my daughter used a shared SNA for years, and they're the lifeblood of children, particularly with special needs, etc.
No, do you know, it's basically, I said this in the article, we're treated like the ugly sister. We'd say in the story, the Cinderella story, that teachers are very different to SNAs. But without an SNA in a class, and most teachers I've worked with will say this and sing it from the rooftops, a normal child's class couldn't go ahead without having an SNA present, because we help those children access
the curriculum. Yeah.
You know? And like,
because with most children with comprehension, they can be part of a mainstream class, but their biggest issue is comprehension.
They can integrate into it.
Yeah, it's the comprehension, and it's the understanding of the questions that are asked, and it's putting it into a different language for them, and it's showing them what to do. You know what I mean?
It comes through, Niall, as Aidan said, it comes down to, if it was 500 teachers we were talking about and they were doing a course to the level that we're doing it, they'd be accredited. But it's always came down to the background of an SNA. The minimum educational requirement for an SNA is 3 D's in the junior certificate. And let me tell you, I've actually sent it on to a few TDs yesterday. Most people on that course have a third level or have done the very basic kind of requirements course.
Well, you know, with the greatest respect, Linda, when you're teaching young children, I suppose particularly young children as well, who have special needs, academia is not really what's needed in some sense.
No, it's on
common sense
kind of
and it's skill.
Yeah.
And it's being able to understand children. And I, you know, I don't, it's like a nurse or a doctor or a teacher. You know, I think it's a vocation. I think it's a job not everybody would want to do.
It is. And you know, Niall, it's a vocation. And I think we see from January and February and the need for SEN education to return in February that we're the backbone and we need to, we're the champions of the education system. And without us, children wouldn't access the curriculum, and all we're asking for is for it to be accredited rather than just
you should. And I've said this for years. I mean, I used to have to go fight for my daughter to get, you know, so many hours a week for shared SNA and all that kind of thing. Used to go to the Cino and all that kind of car. I remember doing it for years. Now my daughter's 20 now and she's getting on great, by the way. But in saying that, I remember in our young life, because obviously she struggled a bit, we had to do all that and fight for it. And we shouldn't have. I mean, this should be part of the education of children. It should be just accepted as part of it. This idea that SNAs are something different, they're outside of the education system and they're just brought in to kind of help their volunteers, almost seen as volunteers, helping young children. That's not the way it should be. You are part of the education system.
Oh, completely. And like in most schools, like my own school, we have 10 SNAs and there's an SNA almost in every class, and that will kind of happen. That will be the normal, that
absolutely
there are SNAs in every
and
class.
And it should be.
And it should be. And I can't understand for the life of me, like my blood boiled when I heard Minister Madigan, when it was brought up as a topical issue, saying we should be grateful that the course was free. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's sad, actually, that she would say that. I didn't hear her say that, but that's quite sad.
She has no comprehension. She's claimed.
I would never wish it upon anybody, but I know Josefa Madigan probably doesn't have a child with special needs.
And I think she likes to say that she's on the side because that suited her narrative in January to pit the parents against the SNAs and the teachers. But now we see that the allocations for teachers, that there's going to be no extra help for children with special needs next year.
I know that there's thousands of listeners around the country right now, Linda, who have children with special needs, and they know their children wouldn't be in the place they're in today. Now, I know this year has been very different, obviously.
Yeah.
And a lot of children have regressed, and I get that, so I don't want to be insulting and offend people. But generally speaking, in the education system, they know their children wouldn't move forward as well as they're moving forward or do well, and eventually end up back in mainstream as such again if they didn't have an SNA.
Like, Niall, I'm in an ASD classroom. I treat those children like they are my own. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to see them when we returned to schools was just, it was so lovely, Niall. And that's what, they can't understand, the government couldn't even understand the bond that we form with those children and their family and the difference that we make to their lives. And all we're looking for is a simple accreditation to say, you've done this course, here is your reward. Because like most people now, it's madness to think, let's say there's a four-year course out there in UCD, let's just say, for example, and you don't know what you're getting at the end of it. And I know that they're probably using us as guinea pigs and we're the first ones, but this should have been decided before the course even began.
Yeah, no. Look, it's not like you're stacking, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to people who are stacking shelves, but it's not like you're stacking shelves. There's a skill in what you're doing. The fact that it's a vocation as well. And by the way, please don't take disrespect if you stack shelves. But everybody can stack shelves. Sorry, Darren, you're also an SNA, and you're setting up the SNA advocacy group with Linda. We've heard a lot from Linda there, but I think people have a very good gist of what this is. You don't feel you're being recognised as professionals?
No, I think the ongoing concern that's really just being highlighted by the pandemic and by the huge divide that was created with the return to school plan, the lack of communication by the department. They constantly try to create this divide between parents and between SNAs, and that's why we really decided to form the group, is that we think the needs of one are very much the needs of the other.
Do you believe that there's a divide between, I'm not saying between you and the teachers, but the way people, I suppose, observe you and the teachers? I mean, obviously the teachers go to college for 4 years, I get that. And from an academic point of view, they're obviously more in tune with the students. But from a social point of view, I would like to think that SNAs are more in tune with the children.
I think there's a real misunderstanding about what the role of the SNA is nowadays. Mm. And that role changes depending on whether you're working in a special school, whether you're working in a unit, whether you're working in mainstream. Those three SNA roles are completely different and independent of each other.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of roles. I mean, you're essentially a child psychologist by times, you're a carer by times, you're an assistant, you're an educator, you're everything really, aren't you?
And that's why we'd be very much saying that there should be career pathways for SNAs into these other areas that they already do as part of their working day, that there should be a way for them to then qualify as a teacher, an SLT, an OT, and then schools would have professionalised and specialised SNAs.
And I think you would both agree that we need more SNAs. We need a lot more SNAs.
Yeah. We do, yeah.
And by the way, I don't understand now at this stage, when we've seen the wastage of money in this country over the last year and a half, particularly, right, when it comes to COVID. And I'm not saying it's not a waste of money to save lives. That's not what I'm suggesting. But in the way that we come up with plans, got rid of plans, and we wasted money on all sorts of different software and stupid things that we never even used, there is no reason why we can't put money into the education of children, which is vital, by the way, going forward into the future, to make sure children are educated, particularly those children with special needs who require special assistance. So putting money into SNAs and, you know, and by recognising them professionally, I don't think would be any disadvantage. I think it could only be an advantage.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, well, Niall, it's shameful to think that every year there's, if you're the last SNA that was hired in your school, that every year you have to hold your breath and see whether the CNO will cut your job or not. That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know, and permanency is something that we're fighting for and that we should have had a long time before now.
Is that system outdated, by the way, Linda, that CNO system?
It is. Well, I mean, there's talk of us moving to another model, which front loading, which some people are for and some are against, but that would secure some form of permanency for SNAs, which is obviously a good thing. But then if we go front loading, you could be looking at, you know, you might be granted more SNAs and you kind of end up with children that mightn't get as much attention if they're not going to.
I mean,
to
this idea that parents, and I know because I've been through the system, that have to scramble every year to the CNO looking for 4 or 5 hours or 6 hours or whatever it is, or a shared SNA.
Or sure, even a place, Niall.
It's outdated.
Some children have no place, you know. There's no school for September.
That you wouldn't turn around and say a child has to scramble to get a place in a school. You know, mind you, that can happen as well. Because according to the Constitution, you're entitled to an education. We're entitled to be treated equally. And if a child has special needs and requires extra education or extra help, well, that should be available to them. But there's no.
Like, now, I've heard parents. I work in Dublin Northwest, and I've had parents that have applied for schools as far as Wicklow because they can't get a place for their child in Dublin. Like, that's the kind of reality. And most of the time, I'm working with early intervention. Most of the time, out of a class of 6, we could have more than half of those that by June, when they're heading off on their summer holidays, those parents don't know where their child's going to be in September.
And by the way, does every school have an ASD or reading unit, as some of them call it?
No, not yet.
They should. There's no reason why they shouldn't.
It really should have. Every school in the country should.
Because here's the thing. I know for a lot of older people out there, we kind of maybe don't understand it too much, particularly if you don't have a child with special needs, because we think back to our days in school. In our days in school, you know, children with special needs were referred to as the slow learners. That's what, back in the 1960s.
Or the bold child.
Yeah, and we were put into classes. Yeah. You remember they were all put into room 4. You know, with the slow learners. But now we understand and we diagnose better that people have particular needs, and it doesn't make them any worse or any better than anybody else, but they have particular needs and they have to be taught a particular way. We understand that now. And we should be doing something about it. We're not really moving on as a society.
Now, we've children, we still haven't got speech and language therapists back since that were redeployed. So we've children that haven't had 18 months or longer, haven't received the therapies that help these children.
So disappointing.
So we've seen regression, you know?
Yeah, it's so disappointing. Well, look, people, I am imploring people to support both of you and every SNA in the country. We need a change in the whole system, and we need to make sure that people like yourself and Linda, or Darren, should I say, are recognised as professionals, because that's exactly what you are. So where can people help? I know you've got a petition going. Where can they sign it?
Yeah, if you go on to our SNA advocacy group on Twitter, I'll share the Twitter handle with you, Niall, or Aisling.
Yeah, Aisling will do it now. She'll put it up now, yeah.
Yeah, Aisling can find it on my page or the SNA advocacy group, and we'd really appreciate more signatures and more of a push. And we've had great TDs behind us, which has helped. That's why it was picked as a topical issue. So we're hoping now with the noise of the change to the vaccine rollout that SNAs will be in the media again. Hopefully.
Okay, so everybody listening, just go to the Niall Boylan Show or my own personal Twitter account there, which is probably a lot more people on it. Go to the Niall Boylan Twitter account or to the Niall Boylan Show Twitter account. I go to the Niall Boylan Facebook page. The 75,000 of you is there. Please, please just sign the petition. It won't take you 5 minutes just to sign the petition.
Thank you so much, Niall. You're so good.
Oh, sorry. Before you go, both of you, by the way, just Linda, I'll ask you very quickly, because my next topic is going to be talking about the rollout of the vaccine. Now, I know the last time I spoke to you, I think we mentioned this, about the criteria criteria. And we talked about people in education being jumped up the criteria a little bit, or carers being jumped up the criteria, Garda Síochána, everybody, teachers. Do you believe this idea now that they have, which is to abandon the original plan and, with the exception of those with underlying conditions, go by age instead? Is this a good plan?
No, it's wrong. Like, it's wrong to me to think that somebody that's working from home that is older than myself will get done when they meet nobody every day. And I'll walk into a classroom with six unmasked children, a staff room. I'm coming into contact with parents on a daily basis that they might receive it. Now, SNAs, just to be very clear, do not want to skip the, we want the vulnerable, we want the frontliners all done. Mm-hmm. But all we're asking for is a better priority than what they've came out with, which they promised us to reopen schools in February. We would be done in the first 30% of the cohort after the vulnerable. And sure, that's gone out the window. And the guards, the teachers, anybody working in a line that they can't keep social distance from people needs to be prioritised.
Okay, and those working with the general public. And
like, I mean, it's very, it can be very, look, you could go around in circles saying who should get it, who shouldn't.
But see, here's the thing, here was my thinking on it, Linda. We wouldn't be having this conversation or this argument or scrambling and fighting over who gets it first if we had a decent, you know, speedy rollout like the UK and Northern Ireland. It wouldn't matter then, really, because you'd only have to wait another couple of weeks. You know what I mean?
Well, this all could have been done. If we had got the vaccines, we could have potentially had every teacher in SNA.
Well, you can blame Stephen Donnelly for that. Somebody has to be at fault for that, and Donnelly is not taking the blame. It's his fault. He knew in January how much he was getting from the EU, and he should have set up that committee that he set up 2 weeks ago. Should have been set up in January to procure them outside of Europe.
The dolls still won't sit fully in the convention centre because they're saying about COVID, but yet they're expecting teachers and SNAs to go into classrooms, especially secondary school classes that are massively, massive.
But Linda, you should know. You should know better than anybody else. Do as we say and not as we do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The key part there, Noel, is that it was promised as part of the and they can't just renege that.
Well, they have reneged on it. They've abandoned it. The plan is gone. It's scrapped.
Yeah, I think the statements from all of the unions, in particular for SNA and Force and Andy Pike, was very strong last night. And I think we kept up our end of the bargain going back in January, February. And now this is a smack in the face to all of us that have done our best for the children with special needs. So, as I said already,
I couldn't agree with you more. If that was the original way we were doing it, we should be changing some of the criteria and moving people up and down the ladder, whatever way it has to be. But in saying that, like, for example, I don't particularly need it. I'm in the studio on my own. Apart from myself and Ashley might have a smoke every now and again together. But we've a limited amount of people in the building. We've got DJs working from home and all sorts of things. So I don't interact with too many people.
No, but that's it now. Like, you know, I want my sister's vulnerable. I want her doing a course ahead of me. But all we're asking for is a little bit of priority given the roles that we do. And God forbid we do go into another wave of this, which, you know, could happen, considering they're taking about 1 million years to vaccinate 100 people. We could potentially, if we're vaccinated, we won't see schools close again. We won't see children lose out. Like, this is common sense.
You know what the problem is? The general public are looking at you, Linda, and they're looking at teachers and Garda and everybody else, and they're saying, don't be trying to skip the queue, because you have Micheál up there last night on the podium saying, and as and from May, there'll be additional freedoms for those with vaccines. So that in turn creates this demand.
That man said that we were essential workers, that you are now on the front line, I believe, were his words to teachers and FNAs, and this is how he now treats us.
See, everybody wants the additional freedoms that he talks about. Now, he hasn't told us what they are yet. I don't know whether it's events or whether it's going to be a big gig somewhere or something. I don't know. But in saying that, if we did have a decent vaccine rollout, like the UK and Northern Ireland, who have gone to more than half the adult population at this stage, we wouldn't have to worry about these things.
All
right, listen. Darren, thank you very much indeed. Linda, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, see you. Don't forget, go to our Twitter account, The Niall Boylan Show, Niall Boylan Twitter account, either one, and then go to our Facebook page as well. Aisling will put a link up there. Please take the time today to support the SNAs, who do a wonderful job in this country. For all those parents out there with children with special needs, you know, your child would not be progressing as well if they didn't have SNAs in the classroom. You just know they wouldn't. And all they want is to be treated like professionals. That's not much to ask. They are professionals. I could not do their job. You could not do their job. They're trained people. They do a course. They actually train. They want a qualification and a certificate of completion at the end of it. They want to be recognised. It's not much to ask, really. You would imagine that's just, should be just done, wouldn't you? But unfortunately not, because it comes with other problems for Josefa Madigan. So please go on there. They have 2,500 signatures there already. Go on and sign it. Do it now. Sign the petition, all right?
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.